Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Stolen Our Hearts, the podcast about ferrets and other exotic pets. Today I have Savannah with me to talk about her pet rats. This is actually the first time I've ever interviewed someone, so a quick edit before the interview starts. We went on for quite a while here, so I hope you enjoy listening to us as much as we enjoyed talking to each other. This is the first time I've actually interviewed anyone, so I'm a bit like, ah. There we are. Okay, so how are you today?
I'm good. You're just tired.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, good. I've been sorting things out. Tell me a bit about yourself, Savannah.
So I'm 19 and I'm living in WA, a small regional town. I'm a youth support worker for YMCA and I'm doing a degree in psychology. And I've got 3 pet rats and 2 dogs.
Oh, cool. How did the dogs react to the rats?
So I keep my rats because I'm in a rental at the moment, and when I got them I was living at my parents' house, so my rats have their own bedroom at my parents' house, and it's about a 3-minute drive because it's a small town, so I come over and see them every day. But if my dogs were to meet the rats, they would definitely try to eat them because they're rat hunting dogs. So
yeah, I have totally
a Jack Russell and a Dash Hound, which are both hunting dogs.
They'll definitely try to eat them.
Yeah, my mum's got dogs here. They can't get in the room, but when they see the rats, they just pretty much bark at them and try to eat them. And she's got a chihuahua that's actually scared of them. He's the only one that won't go near them because he's too scared.
I've got a chihuahua too.
Yeah. I've actually got the rats here with me now.
Oh.
Where are they? Come here. They're just having a nap. Come on. Come here. Come here. Okay, so this is Nessie.
Aww.
She's the oldest of them all. She's 3 years old. But she doesn't look that bad for an old rat.
For podcast purposes, could you describe the rat? What colour is she?
So she's brown and white. She's got a hooded brown head with a little white spot on it. And then some spots on her back as well.
Cute.
We have Deanie here. She's 2 years old. She's pure white with red eyes. Mm-hmm. And we have Ellie, which is... I don't know what she's got in her mouth. She's got, some bread, I think, or a biscuit or something. So she's all brown with a white belly and little white socks. I don't know if you can see her little socks.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
For anyone who's interested, I'll post some pictures up on the website when they get that out. It's real cute. So can you describe their room to me, please? Like, what's it like for them?
So it's my old bedroom from when I was living here. So it's still got my old bed in here because I got a new bed when I moved out. And they've got a double crenellation cage, so a really big cage. I'm not sure how tall, but a little bit shorter than me, and I'm about 5'9", so it's a big cage. It's only got the bed and the cage in the room, and everything else that I have for them in here, just all over the room. it serves the purpose well. When I get them out every day, I just have them sitting on the bed with me, and they just crawl around and do what they want, like give them some treats or anything. When they were younger, they would try to explore more, but now that they're old, they mostly just nap and come and chill with me, and they like cuddles more now.
That's always good. How old do rats live for? How long do rats live for, rather?
So on average, it's about 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. So all of my rats are considered elderly, especially Nessie, the oldest. I'm sorry if you can hear that rat squeaking. No, that's my dad with a drill right outside the room. So Nessie is really old. I think one rat year is about the equivalent to 30 human years. So Nessie is over 90 years old. She's very much so a little old lady. And the other two are about 60 if we're talking human years. It just depends. There's like a lot of factors into it, you know, like how much of a good owner that you are and taking care of them and their medical needs, but also the breeders that you get them from. a good breeder will breed for like temperament and health issues, so they'll have lines of rats that are less prone to getting health issues and live longer lives and are more friendly. But a lot of breeders out there are pretty dodgy and will breed rats from poor lines. Like I didn't when I got my rats, I was very inexperienced. I had no idea about breeding or anything, so I have no idea what type of breeders I got mine from, if they were good breeders. I know one of them, the one that I got Ellie from, she didn't seem to be that much of a good breeder. She had all of her rats in like a tiny little cage, about like 20 rats in one cage, which were all of the babies, and she said to me that she didn't handle them much when they were young. So so when I got Ellie, she was really skittish and she wouldn't want me to touch her or go near her or anything, and she's still a bit skittish and like wary of people now, but she's, you know, in the 2 years that I've had her, she's bonded a lot with me, so she's more comfortable around me than other people.
What does she do with you?
She's still a bit iffy on being pat and, you know, cuddled and touched and everything, but she's quite happy to just sit with me or sit on me. So she will, so rats, when they're happy, they brux and they boggle. So bruxing is like a chittering type noise from their teeth, and boggling is where their eyes kind of look like they're vibrating and popping in and out of their head, which is, it's not as creepy as it sounds when they do it. It just looks funny. So she will get all happy just sitting on me without me actually patting her. Past few months though, she's been more open towards me patting her, but she's just like, she doesn't really know what's happening and she's not sure if she likes it or not. She's just a bit wary about it, which is complete opposite to Nessie, because Nessie absolutely loves it. And Nessie will, she loves to sit when I put my hand right up my chest like that. She will climb up and sit on my hand, but like, so usually I'll pick her up and put her there, but recently she's been, she like bear hugs me and climbs all the way up while I'm sitting down and just puts herself in my hand there and looks at me waiting for pats. So she's,
that's really cute,
affectionate than the others are.
I think I told you I used to have a rat when I was a kid. We didn't really have much information at the time because, you know, it was pre-internet. So I didn't know it was called bruxing or boggling or anything. I also didn't know that you're meant to have them in a group, aren't you?
Yeah, so they need at least friend, or it's like recommended to have at least three, but you can have two on their own. But having one rat by themselves, they will get very depressed and isolated. You could have them out with you 24 hours a day and they still will get depressed because they need,
it's not the same.
Yeah, they need another companion of their own species.
Like, I feel so bad about that now.
Oh no, I've had I've seen a lot of people that have made the same mistake, but honestly, it's not your fault if you're not aware of it. Whereas there's people,
and this
that
was
are
again
aware of it.
Back in the 90s, no internet. We literally just accepted the information we got from the pet shop. And
yeah, and pet shops can be shocking with the information they give out.
I know, right?
A few weeks ago, I went to the pet shop to get mite treatment for the rats, and it was a spray. And I looked at the spray, and I noticed on the back it said that do not allow pets to lick it off. And it also said that it was for rats as well. And I was like,
rats lick.
This has never owned a rat if they think you can stop it from licking their fur.
Or licking each other's fur.
Yeah, so I didn't end up getting it, but they do have very limited information about it, and even the conditions that they keep most rats in is like they keep them in tiny cages or by themselves, and they just, they're not, they don't take very good care of them at all.
Do yours ride around on your shoulder? Because mine used to.
So they will sit on my shoulder if I'm up and walking around. sorry. I don't take them out of the bedroom with me because my mom's got
dangerous.
She's got five dogs here and a cat, and the cat would he's always hunting mice and bugs and birds and everything, so I know that he would think they're a very nice snack because they're a lot bigger than mice if you saw them. So I always worry about them falling off and or any of the dogs, you know, jumping at them and barking and scaring them. But they would happily sit on my shoulders if I were to up and walk around. Dini, the albino one, she loves going out to the vets. Like, I have a little travel cage that I take them in, and she's sitting there and she's bruxing and she's boggling, just happy to be out of the house and not in the room. I do take
exploring
them outside sometimes, but I keep them in the travel cage just to give them some fresh air and everything. I also have a a lead and a harness for them, like a little, but I haven't used it because I'm too scared that they're going to get out of it because they're really wriggly. Yeah. And in the area that I'm in, we have, I think they're hawks or eagles or something.
Oh, yeah.
They would spot the rats from a mile away, and I think mm-hmm. I would get in a fist fight with a bird if they tried to take them. So
of course
it wouldn't be a good line. Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't really have proper shoulders like a dog does to keep the harness yeah. on, so.
Yeah, they just squirm out of it yeah. every time I put it on them. But, yeah, so. Yeah. I won't be walking them anytime soon or letting them out. I have thought about getting, like, a little, like those, I don't know, they're called, like the little crate things that you have puppies in, but they're outside and they're like the
oh, yeah.
fences. I yep. thought about those, but rats are also really good at digging, so I'm worried they're just going to dig straight
and
out.
And climbing.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. mine aren't as good as climbing as they used to be since they're old.
Yeah.
So Deanie's got bad balance because she had an ear infection when she was younger, and I went to one of the vets here, and they were inexperienced and didn't really know what was going on with rats. Mm-hmm. So I didn't treat it in time, and it ended up doing permanent damage to give her a head tilt, which she doesn't notice that she's fine. It doesn't bother her, but her balance yep. is like she tips a lot to us one side, and the other two are, well, Nessie's too old and Ellie is too fat, so she just struggles to pull her weight up. So
yeah. the fatness brings me to the next question, I suppose. What are you feeding your rats?
So they've always got Origin little food pellets in the cage, which mm-hmm. is Origin is a really good brand for them because it gives them all of the like nutrients and everything that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And every night they get a mix of fruit and veggies, so they get peas, corn, carrot, broccoli, you know, like some leafy greens, and mostly fruit and vegetables. They love blueberries as well. They get avocado sometimes as a treat, which is probably why two of them are fat, because it's full of fat. But yeah, no, they get a whole bunch of fruit and veggies every night. I'm going to be putting them on a diet soon. Well, the two that need a diet, because yeah, they're like Ellie. If I flatten her out on my hand, she looks like a pancake, and she's like wider than my palm. So she's got to be on a diet, and she's like, the other two will take food from the plate and then run back into their huts and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie will just sit on the plate and continuously eat. So it's an issue that I need to sort out.
That's so funny. And what treats do you feed your rats?
So I've got peckish treats, which is like little strawberry yogurt drops. They absolutely love them. And they always, like, it's kind of like puppy dog eyes, but worse. Because most of the time I'll give them a treat, like one little drop, when I put them back in the cage. And then they just stare at me, and they look at me, and they climb towards me. Especially mm-hmm. Nessie, she absolutely loves them. And she's obsessed with stashing all of her food. So she yep. will continuously run back and forth if there's food, and just keep stashing it away
yeah.
over and over again. But then the other rats come and find her stash and eat it before she can. So it gets frustrating with her because, like, she also loves shapes. And if I'm sitting on the bed eating shapes, she will literally stash about half the box of shapes. And then when I put them back in the cage, I give her, like, maybe two or three so I don't feel bad. And then the rest of them all go in the bin because she's just left them there, stashed all of this food away, and she's not going to be able to eat it.
Does she steal it from you or just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so, goes like, straight in the box or...?
Yeah, no, they will try to take food straight out of your mouth. Like, yep. they... With mm-hmm. dogs... If you have a dog and you're eating it, they're going to stare at you and give you puppy dog eyes. But usually you can, you know, you can yell at a dog or you can train it so that it doesn't take food out of your mouth. The rats, there's no training them. Like, you can train them to do tricks and everything, but to not take food out of your mouth, it's impossible. They're like,
yep.
they will climb any way they can to get up to your shoulders, and then they will try to, like, pry
it open
from getting it to your mouth. And then once it's in your mouth, they will try to pry it open and get it back out. And they just
steal I remember
it from
that.
Your hands. Yeah, I know. My I had a rat that I had a fourth rat that passed away last year.
Oh.
And she was the worst for stealing food. Like, I was sitting here eating chicken treat one night, and she came up to the box and she grabbed the chicken, but she slipped like a huge piece of chicken, like the size of her, off of the bone, and just left me with the bone and ran away with the whole chicken. And another time I had an ice cream, and I actually have a video of me eating the ice cream and her trying to get to my face to get the ice cream. And right after I stopped recording, she took the whole ice cream off of the stick and ran away with the whole lot before I could do anything about it. She was the worst for stealing food like that.
That's crazy. I guess I was going to ask, what are some of the best and worst things about having a pet rat?
So the best I would say is they're very loving and they're very friendly, mm-hmm. and they bond quite deeply with their owners, mm-hmm. like with mice, because a lot of people think mice and rats are, you know, pretty much the same, but they're really, really different. Mm-hmm. And rats are way more social than mice are. Like, they will love you, they will, you know, you can get that connection with a mouse as well, but rats are just more sort of fine-tuned to their person that they love. Like, my rats bond mm-hmm. with me. If anyone else holds them, they're like, no, I don't want you, I want my mom. So they come back to me. And they're really funny, they're really smart, they're like, I usually describe them as like having little dogs,
mm-hmm.
like really little dogs, but
yep.
they're smarter than dogs, and at least in my experience, they've got a bit more of a personality than dogs. Like, they have individual things that they mm-hmm. like and dislike. Like, two of my rats like strawberries and the other one hates them.
Mm-hmm.
And they each have their own favourite foods, and they have things that they like to do and everything, and, you know, their favourite spot to sleep and everything. Like, they've got full personalities. I know when I got them, I was thinking, because I already knew that they were only going to live for 2 to 3 years, mm. and in my mind I was thinking, oh, well, it's just going to kind of be like having a goldfish or a bird,
no.
which was, it's not. it's like having, for me at least, they're like having little family members.
Yeah.
But it's, they're like really friendly and they're really nice and loving. And that's pretty much, there isn't really any downsides to having them besides with their medical costs can be quite expensive because they're really prone to sickness and tumours and everything. Their short lifespan,
yeah.
I would say, is definitely another downside.
Very sad.
Especially because you get so attached to them. And then, you know, 2-3 years is really not
no,
a long time
it's not.
For a pet. And, just feeling, because there's not a lot that you can really do to them, like, for them in comparison to dogs. Like, a lot of dogs you can, you know, do surgery on, have treatments mm-hmm. for and everything. But with rats, the risk of surgery is pretty high. And the older they are, the higher the risk is for it.
Yeah.
And, sort of just watching them when they're sick and, you know, they're getting worse and you're not able to do anything is definitely one of the downsides.
Mm-hmm.
Other than those ones, that's pretty much the only downsides there is to them. Like, they don't smell or anything. As long as you keep their cage clean,
yeah.
they don't smell because they really clean themselves. They absolutely hate being dirty. So as long as you stay on top of their, like, cleaning their cage and their bedding and everything, then they really don't smell bad. They don't, you know, they're not really a problem. Like, with dogs, and, like, I love all animals and I love my dogs mm-hmm. a lot, but every time my dogs bark, I'm like, I'm so happy that rats can't bark and they don't make any noise all the time. And, like, this is why I like rats.
I feel the same with the ferrets. Like, they're just so quiet.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. The only time they're not quiet is when you're, like, you know, you're trying to sleep and it's, like, 1 a.m. and they decide that's the prime time to rearrange mm-hmm. their cage and go absolutely ballistic at their water bottles that have that little metal mm-hmm. dropping sound every time that they drink. And it's the only time they're not quiet. And they're really they're a very convenient sort of pet because you don't have to really, the only part you have to clean is their cage. You know, they stay in their cage and you know you just get them out when you want to and everything. Well, you're supposed to get them out for at least an hour a day.
Oh, that's not much, is it?
Yeah, well, that's like a minimum.
Yeah.
I spend usually 2 to 3 hours every day with my girls.
Yeah.
I would have to be half dead to miss coming to see them before I would, like, there's not much that would get in my way. Like, I've been really, really sick and feeling absolutely awful. I'm like, yeah, no, I've got to go see the rats. It's not fair if I leave them in there for that long. But, yeah. Another downside is their price. A lot of people think that because the rat themselves are quite
yep.
cheap. Like, I think my cheapest one was like $3. Mm-hmm. They're insanely cheap to buy a rat. Nothing else about them is cheap. That's the only part for them that's cheap. Like, their food's expensive, their cages are expensive. My cage was like, I think, nearly $400.
Yeah.
All the vet bills are expensive. You know, buying everything for their cage is also expensive. And then, in my case, because it gets really cold here in winter, they've got a heater on in their room all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's set to a certain temperature. So that's expensive to keep running all winter, and then in summer it gets too hot because where I live it gets to like probably 44
mm-hmm.
45 degrees each summer, so I have to have the aircon on too
of course.
Them so they don't get too hot. So yeah, the price is a downside, and I think a lot of people should definitely consider that before buying them, because if they
yeah.
look at a rat and go, oh no, that's cheap, it's not cheap.
Yeah,
I made that mistake and it's not cheap.
Yes. I've found that lots of people think that because they're cheap to buy, that it's ridiculous to spend money on them. And it's like, well, no, we love them.
I know, like, you can have a baby for free. Why would you not want to spend money on that?
It's so ridiculous. You know? Like yeah, like, that was one reaction that we had when we had our rat, that everyone thought we were very silly. We had her, she got a tumour, and we had her operated on, and everyone thought it was ridiculous. Like, we spent $600 on a $6 rat, and, you know, it's like, well, yeah, of course we did.
Yeah, I come across that a lot as well. Especially, like, in the past maybe 3 months, I've probably spent over $600-$700 at the vet in the past 3 months alone. You know, just with every issue, they decided to all have it once, just, you know, to make me bankrupt.
But, of course.
People are like, oh, that's crazy. Like, why do you do it? Or why don't you just, like, euthanize them? I'm like, I would, if I could, I would sell my kidney before I would not treat them.
Mm.
I would sell anything and everything I had, so that I could give them the best life that I could. Because for me, when you take on a pet, you then have a responsibility, like a kind of like a duty of care to them. And it's not fair to them if you're going to get them and then decide that they're not worth that sort of money.
Yeah.
The only time that I would decide not to treat them as if, like with my girl, the oldest one that's got a tumour, I don't really have any options. I could choose to operate, but with her age and her history of respiratory infections, there's a much higher risk for it if I do decide to operate.
So it's sort of palliative care at this point, isn't it? So
yeah, so the vets have said maybe, like, I think 5 to 6 months left before it starts affecting her mobility, if it continues growing at the rate it's at now. If it were to start growing really fast, then I'd probably consider the surgery, because then I would be outweighing, you know, like, the time she's got left and compared to how much the tumour is affecting her.
Yeah.
But it is a really difficult decision to make.
Absolutely.
Because you just don't really know what would be the right decision. Because, you know, if she had the tumour removed and she didn't have any other health issues, she could probably live for maybe another year or so, because she's otherwise completely healthy. But there's also the risk of her not living through the surgery, and then I've cut her life short by 6 months.
That's so true.
It is a really difficult decision.
Yeah, and you have to weigh up if she's in pain or, you know,
yeah,
her quality of life.
She's not in any pain. Mm. Which is good.
That's good.
But, yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like no matter which decision that you decide to make, you're going to regret it either way, because you're always going to have the what if lingering in your mind. Like, what if I did that, or what if I didn't do this? And that would probably be another downside to owning them, is having to make those sort of decisions for them.
Yeah, though you have to make that decision with every pet, I think. So
yeah, true. Yeah,
you know, you can be completely petless, completely childless, and then you don't have to make those decisions. Yeah. That's basically it.
That would yeah.
Do you find that people have certain reactions to you having rats? Or, I know I didn't ask you that earlier to prepare, but
that's okay. No, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, definitely have a lot of reactions to it. Some people will think, oh, that's a bit weird. And then, you know, I show them photos and they're like, oh, you know, that's, like, they're actually quite cute. Other people are like, that's disgusting and you're crazy. Why would you have vermin in your house? I'm like, well, I'd rather them in my house than you anyway, so. But yeah, I do get quite a lot of bad reactions, like at work. I have a few co-workers that think I'm absolutely insane. They think that they're disgusting and dirty. And no matter how much scientific proof you give to them that they're not dirty, that they're just loving little pets, it won't change their mind. They have just got it ingrained in them that rats are disgusting vermin, which is really frustrating, because it doesn't make any sense to me, because we already know that it was fleas that caused the plague, not rats. It was just the rat fleas on the rats, but they were also on other animals too. But yeah, like, it's really frustrating, because people look at rabbits and guinea pigs and they're like, oh, that's cute, but then you have rats and mice and they're like, ew, they're disgusting, when they're all rodents. They're all pets, you know. Like, especially another big misconception is, when I tell people I have rats, they're imagining I've got these huge wild brown rats in my house. I'm like, no, I've got little colorful babies, they're not the same. Like, I would love wild rats too.
I've seen people,
like, keep one as a pet.
I've seen people with pets at wild, well, they probably aren't actually wild, but the big ones, the big chonkers, as pets. Yeah, and they seem exactly like a normal rat, just
big. Yeah, they're just a lot bigger. Because, like, my girls are actually quite small for rats. I've seen people with rats, like, twice the size of mine. So they can get really big. I think, I'm not even know why people have the misconception about it, because it would be And then, you know, they say that they're wild animals and everything, and like a lot of people say, oh, just let them out and everything and oh, they'll be fine. It's like that'd be similar to chucking a chihuahua out in the middle of a forest and expecting it to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
They're domesticated pets. They've got no idea. And they're like, you know, with wild rats, they've evolved to have the same fur colour as they're trained to better hide from mm-hmm. birds of prey. Whereas my albino rat in the middle of a red desert is going to stick out a lot mm-hmm. to any bird flying overhead or any prey, predator animal at all, mm-hmm. really. And she wouldn't stand a chance because she wouldn't even know to be scared of them. The only thing they're scared of is cats, and that's just sort of a natural instinct for them. But with birds and dogs, they're not scared. Like, they will actually antagonize the dogs. Mm-hmm. They would, like, go up to the side of the cage and they're like, come at me, you want to go? I'm like, stop it. You're not as big as you think you are.
So, you chose girl rats.
Yep.
Did you consider boy rats at all, or why? Why did you choose girl rats?
So, to be completely honest, I can't really remember if I considered male rats. Mm-hmm. I think I just wanted girls because I think I might have read something about male rats smelling worse. Mm-hmm. I also read that, this is probably a bit too much information, but male rats can get the, like a build up of, like gunk, I suppose mm-hmm. you'd call it. They're called penis plugs when okay. they get older. And you have to actually squeeze those out and clean them for them. Oh. So I was like, I'm not doing that. No thanks. Yeah, male rats also tend to get more aggressive if they're not de-sexed as well. Not all the time, yeah. but it is more likely to happen with male rats, which there's also benefits to getting female rats de-sexed as well, like they're less likely to get mammary tumours and mm-hmm. other things like that. I didn't have any of mine de-sexed because I've got the vets. There's two vet clinics in town here, and neither of them are experienced with rats.
Mm-hmm.
Because rats are actually illegal in my town.
Really?
Which, I didn't know about this before I got them. So I found out recently that I could get fined $2,000 per rat.
Oh,
so
my gosh, okay.
If someone snitches, I'm not going to be happy.
We didn't name your town, yeah. did we? I can't remember.
No, we haven't. Okay, good. It's good. But yeah, so they're pretty much illegal to have as pets here because there is no wild rats in this region yep. and they don't want to introduce
of course
what like pests where there is none at the mm-hmm. moment, which
makes sense.
It's a bit crazy to me because you can have mice. They sell mice at the pet shop.
Really?
And there's like, yeah, pet mice.
That's weird.
And we are overrun with wild mice here. Like, there's so many all the time. Like, any house you can find, you'll find most of the time you'll find mice there.
Oh, logic.
And yeah, which I mean, it doesn't make sense to ban domesticated rats anyway, because
they'll just
even
die.
If my rats
yeah.
got out of their cage. Yeah, they're not going to live mm-hmm. long enough to actually reproduce or start a rat issue because they've got no idea how to live in the wild.
Mm.
Yeah.
They'll probably just go up to someone's door and be like, hey, humans, where's yeah. the yogurt?
Yeah, pretty much. They wouldn't even know how to feed themselves or what to eat in the wild. Mm. They'd be like, where's my blueberries? And they'd have no idea. Speaking of the rats, my mum's just come in because I had more of their treats delivered
oh,
today.
Oh, nice. So
they're going to be harassing me as soon as they realise what I've got in the package.
So, yeah, you seem very confident about rats. Is there anything you don't feel confident about? No?
Well, it's sort of... sometimes I don't feel confident in... most of the medical decisions,
mm.
and that's because I don't know a lot about rats, so I will rely on mostly the internet and a few Facebook groups
yeah.
that are really good. There's a Facebook group called Real Rat Lovers Want to Know, and they have vets and everything in it, which they're really helpful. But the main reason I'm not confident in treating them for anything or doing anything for them is because my vets also don't know.
Mm.
Like, most of the medications that I get from the vets and everything that I have done for them, I've gone to the vet and said, you know, I want to do this, and they're like, okay. Here you go.
Yeah.
And they just give me the medication. I'm like, thanks, I'm doing your job. So you should be paying me. not me paying you for this.
Yeah, that's weird.
But yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much the only thing I'm not confident about. One dilemma that I've got now is since they can't be alone, I don't want to get more rats because of the... I get attached mm-hmm. so easily, and I get attached really deeply as well. So I don't handle it well at all when they pass. Like, mm-hmm. with my girl last year, I was a complete mess
yep.
for months afterwards. So I don't want to get any more. And because I don't have an exotic vet here, so mm-hmm. if I were to get more, I'd want to move to, say, like Perth or another city where there's specialist vets. But I don't really know what to do when I've got one left, because I don't want to get more.
Mm.
But I don't want to have the one that I've got left to be lonely or anything. I think at the moment I'm considering, I think there's a few rescues in Perth mm-hmm. where you can foster elderly rats and companion rats and everything for where you've got one left. So I'm thinking about doing that. But then I'm worried I'm going to get attached to the foster rat and end up adopting that.
Well,
it's a never-ending cycle with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. But I like that idea with the foster rat plan.
Yeah.
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 You just have to be tough and not fall in love with the rat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's also hard introducing rats to each other because they don't like other rats.
Mm.
Like, I know with mice, not sure about domesticated mice, but I know with wild mice, because if we have wild mice in the house, we'll get humane trap and release mm-hmm. traps, and you can just chuck them all in a bucket and then take them out bush and release them,
mm-hmm.
which I'm pretty sure that's illegal too, but you know what, oh well. but yeah, so they don't care. If it's a mouse, they're like, cool, it's just another mouse. But with rats, they are not happy about other rats being around. So I originally got Nessie and Schnupf, which was the one that passed away. Mm. And then a year after I got them, I got Deanie and Ellie. And so when they were babies and you put them together, they're fine. But introducing Deanie and Ellie to Nessie and Schnuff was not fun. My sister thought it would be okay to just shove Deanie into their cage with Nessie and Schnuff, which didn't end well because Deanie's still got a chunk out of her ear from where Nessie got quite territorial mm-hmm. about her cage. So it took about probably 3 or 4 weeks of having them out together in the bathtub, and I had a puppy play pen, because if they were in the room, Nessie and Schnuff would get territorial mm-hmm. and have their scent everywhere. And then I'd have their cage, I'd have the baby rats in a separate cage next to the cage so they could sort of see each other and get used to each other without actually being able to hurt each mm-hmm. other. And because I'd already moved out, I'd had so much anxiety the first few nights that I had properly integrated them into the new cage. Mm. I was so worried. I was like messaging my mum and my sister. I was like, can you check on them? Like every 30 minutes, I'd be like, can you go make sure they're not like hurt? Nothing's going on. But yeah, it's like a real pain because you also have to deep clean their entire cage mm-hmm. and make sure that their scent isn't on anything. So the whole room, the whole cage, everything, just in order so that they don't want to kill each other.
Yeah.
Which is, the tables have turned now because Ellie and Deanie got a lot bigger than Nessie did. Nessie stayed quite small. And because Nessie's old, Deanie and Ellie have become more dominant mm-hmm. over her. So she constantly gets pushed down, and like she'll get, because they kind of have like a pecking order hierarchy type thing within their group, and Nessie's now at the bottom, which it's in a way probably karma for Nessie. This is what she gets for taking a chunk out of Deanie the year, I suppose. As soon as her fault.
Mm.
But yeah, they're really good pets.
Yeah. I really liked her. And Matilda, she was lovely.
Yeah.
So, do you have any rat media recommendations or? It's okay if you don't.
Truth be told, I actually haven't watched many movies at all with a good representation of rats. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, rats in most movies are just treated as like, they're in the horror films mm-hmm. and, like, the scenes where there's rats scuttling around mm-hmm. and they're dirty, or they're in, like, plague movies and stuff.
What about Ratatouille? Come on, that's perfectly accurate.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Ratatouille is a good movie. I think, actually, like, with Ratatouille and other movies like that, like Stuart Little and everything, I think it really changes the opinions of children because, so I work with kids at YMCA, and anytime I would tell the kids about my rats, they love them. They think that they're adorable. Mm-hmm. They want to see photos of them. They want to meet them. And I pretty much just have an army of children on my side at this point because, like, my co-workers would be like, ew, rats are disgusting. And I have, like, all these kids behind me backing me up. Like, no, they're cute. You're disgusting. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Don't mess with me and my kids. But, yeah, so I think that it is good that a lot of kids that I meet have a better opinion towards rats because I find with mostly older people that are sort of stuck in their ways, like my grandparents and, like, the boomers generation and everything, they think their rats are absolutely disgusting. And they think that I'm insane for it. And they're like my partner's parents, they think I'm full-blown insane. Like, they won't meet them. They won't even, my mother-in-law won't even look at them. She's like, she feels sick to just see them. But I think as well, a lot of the people that I've met, like if I've had friends that didn't like rats, they change their mind very quickly once meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had one guy come in that I'm friends with, and he went up to their cage, and this was the first time I was meeting them, and he was like, oh, they're disgusting little vermin, and he put his finger in their cage, and one of them just put their little hand on his finger. And then he was like, oh my god, they're so cute. And I was like, yeah, that's what I thought.
Thought you're gonna
very quickly.
Thought you're gonna tell me a revenge biting story there.
Oh no. I actually get asked that a lot. A lot of people ask if they bite at all, and they've never bitten anyone. The only one that's ever bitten me is Ellie. She's more of a warning sort mm-hmm. of bite. Like not a warning, more of a curious thing. If I put my hand into her hut and she doesn't know it's me, she just sort of nips me a little bit. I think she's just trying to figure out, you know, what this is coming into her hut and why it's here.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they've never aggressively bitten anyone. And that's even when I've accidentally, like, squished them or... I know one time I was asleep with Nessie. I fell asleep and she fell asleep in my hand. And you know how when you're asleep sometimes you have, like, and you have a dream and your body starts twitching? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my hand twitched and squeezed her. So she woke up with a squeak and I felt so bad, but even still she didn't bite me mm-hmm. or get aggressive. So if a rat's, a lot of people, like with Ellie when she sort of nips me, like if a rat's trying to bite you aggressively, you're going to
yeah, totally.
Because they have really long teeth and they usually, I think a lot of people have to get stitches or mm-hmm. like glue to put it back open because their teeth have, they're really long and they're really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, the amount of precision that they have in their jaw power is absolutely insane. Like, they can, tell apart skin that still has nerve endings in it and skin that's dead.
Wow.
So, if you have, like, dead skin, they will pick it off and you can't feel it, but they won't ever touch the skin that's... You can still feel it. So, they're really, really smart like that and they've got so much precision. And I know that water rats in... Like, what are they called? They're native rats to Australia. Mm-hmm. They're the really big water rats that are, like, in river rats, I don't know, something like that. They swim. And so we have the cane toad issue, mm-hmm. especially in Northern Territory, and I think Queensland, I think it
yeah.
is. And they have, you know, these cane toads are a total pest because they kill everything that eats them.
Mm-hmm.
And water rats have actually been smart enough to... So, well, originally they started finding these cane toads that had been split down the middle with, like, surgical incision. And their organs and insides had been taken out, but their liver, the part that excretes the poison to other animals, was just left behind. And so they started observing and putting up cameras and everything, and they found that these water rats were finding these cane toads and cutting open their bellies with their teeth and removing every organ besides the one that has poison in it so that they could eat it without getting sick from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I think they're one of the only animals that have been found to be able to eat them without dying from it. And they've even been targeting bigger cane toads. They don't bother with little ones. Mm. They just, if they're going to put in that much effort, they're going to want a big frog or toad to have for their meal. But yeah, so they're really smart and they've got a lot of precision in their jaws and their teeth as well.
Yeah. Now that's crazy with that river rat story.
Yeah, they're really smart.
It's like almost...
A lot of people...
I was going to say, it's almost like they've done a scientific experiment there. Like, you know, if you eat this, you're going to die. Don't do that, guys.
They've
definitely rats learned something.
Rats are used in a lot more ways than people realise. And there's a lot more different types. I think there's like 53 different breeds of rats. And I know one of them are used in like armies and militaries because they can smell, because they've got such a good sense of smell. They can sniff out what they're called, like, landmines.
Yep.
And then sort of, I don't know how, but they communicate with the people to let them know where they are. I'm not sure. They would have some sort of training set up for it. And it's because they're not heavy enough to set off the landmines. So they're used a lot in like war zones and places like that, so that they can let the people know where they are. And these rats are really big. They're like the size of a chihuahua. They're huge rats.
I saw the pictures of that. They were huge. And
yeah, they're really big. Yeah. And they're very smart, and there's a lot of empathy. I know that I saw an experiment. I read about it not long ago, but I'm not sure how long ago the experiment happened. But it was basically just seeing if rats were capable of empathy, and they had... So they had a little cage with a little rat in it, like a really small, uncomfortable cage with a rat in it, and then a rat outside of that in a bigger cage. And the rat had to solve a puzzle to set its little friend free. And in every experiment, the rats would solve the puzzle to set its friend free, even if they couldn't see its friend afterwards, because the one that was in the really small tight space, it was making like distress signals and noises of like being in distress, which so yeah, even when they couldn't see the rat and they couldn't reunite with it afterwards, they would still set it free. And then they found that even if you gave the rat that was doing the puzzle a small pile of chocolate chips, it would save chocolate chips for the rat once it got out too. So it would save food for them. So I found that rats definitely do have empathy and they are really social animals, which is, sorry, I'm rambling on.
No, it's great.
Another one. there was the rat park experiment that was done, I think at least 20 years ago. It was a while ago. So they basically were testing, seeing the effects of like addiction and everything, because you know rats are experimented on pretty much everything. Yep. So they had a rat in a cage and they'd have a bottle of water and a bottle of water mixed with, I think it was morphine. And in nearly every case, the rat would always choose the morphine and water to the point where they would overdose on it. And so I think another scientist came along. It's sad. I know. I hate reading about these experiments, especially with my degree, because I love animals so much. But a scientist came along and realized that you know, these rats are completely isolated and we already know that they're social animals and they're alone in a cage with no stimulation.
They're self-medicating.
Yeah, so they made Rat Park, which was a huge cage with so many things to do and they had friends in there and everything, and the rats weren't alone, and then they were offered the choice again of normal water or the morphine-infused water, and I'm pretty sure nearly every rat chose the normal water.
Wow.
And even the rats that did choose the morphine, they never overdosed on it in the same way. So, The results of that study showed that addiction is sort of more likely to happen with in isolation and when you are disconnected from your community and don't have any stimulation, which is, it was actually, the Rat Park experiment was used for Portugal when they decriminalised all drugs and made it so that if you were found doing drugs and everything, that you would have to go to a, I think like a doctor, a lawyer, and like a therapist or something like that. And they basically made it so that it's they're not legal to do the drugs, but you don't get like punished for it. You don't get any criminal charges. It's more so seen as like a illness that you need help with rather than like a criminal offence. And I think Portugal was in the 90s before they decriminalised all the drugs. They were like the leading country for they were the leading country in Europe for heroin. They had insane heroin rates and addicts and everything. It was huge there. And then after they decriminalised it and introduced everything like that based on the Rat Park experiment, they found that their drug rates went down so much. Like, they became one of the best countries in the world now for how low their drug and crime rates are because they've decriminalised it using the Rat Park experiment findings, which is, I suppose...
That's amazing.
Yeah, the results that we get from these experiments are good. I just don't like the way that we do these experiments.
I know. Yeah. People don't know that ferrets are also... experimented on a lot. So at the moment with the COVID vaccines, it's like what are they testing them on? Ferrets. So
I was about to say that I think humans are the only things that we don't experiment on, but now I remembered that we have experimented on humans as well.
We do
a lot.
A lot, but so, animals first, then the human torture happens. But
yeah, so
I would
rather not experiment on animals in any way, shape or form. You know, I just think that there's better ways that we can test things and experiment things without using animals.
Nowadays,
A lot of the time, the information we get from these experiments on animals isn't necessarily helpful to humans at all, especially when it comes to testing, like, the effects of drugs and new treatments and everything, because I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but humans aren't rats and humans aren't ferrets.
Yep.
So there's no guarantee we're going to respond the same way that they do. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one good thing that's coming out of the cloning tissues and organs now. So, actual relevant experimentation. So,
I bet we'll see probably about 10, 20 years' time, we'll see like clone rights activists and everything, you know?
Well, if.
There'll be protests.
Yeah, well, at the moment, I think they're just disembodied organs, but, you know.
I have seen that we actually have gone quite, speaking of experiments, we've gone quite a way with actual cloning as well. Like, I think they're up to like 99% identical DNA, and
well, they can definitely clone animals, so
yeah. I know, I think there was I'm not sure if it was a dog or a sheep or something, but it had been cloned like hundreds of times.
Wow.
And it had hundreds of clones out there of it, which is really scary when you think about it, because you know, if you ever do something dodgy and the government doesn't want you around anymore, they're just going to replace you with a clone. And no one will know.
It depends if it's got your memories or not. Or else
yeah, yeah. Like, I think we're going more into the sci-fi type genre now.
Well, that's all right. I love sci-fi. Sci-fi rats.
Yeah. Oh, that actually, with the media that you mentioned, the new Suicide Squad movie. I know I haven't watched it yet, but the... I think her name's the Ratter, maybe.
Okay.
She's got a pet rat in there, and it's really good. The rat's really friendly, and it shows puts rat in a positive light as well.
That's good.
I need to watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't watched it yet, so I have heard good things about it though from the rat community, rat owner community on Facebook.
Better than other media with rats in it, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you got any questions for me? I think I'm at the end of my questions now.
That's all right. So since I know that it's been a while since you've owned a rat, but what would you say the main differences are in comparison to owning ferrets? I know that with ferrets, I've heard that you've had to clean their cage daily or change it daily, which I do want ferrets in the future, but I'm like, that's a lot of work. Like I clean my rat's cage like weekly. So going daily would be a lot.
I've had 4 ferrets before, and that was a lot of cleaning. Because they're meant to be toilet trained, right? Meant to be.
Yeah.
They've got litter trays, but they make a lot of mistakes. They're not so good at that. So yes, you do have to clean their cage quite a lot. So that's one big difference. Our rat was very clean and tidy, I suppose, and ferrets, they clean. I would call them clean, but I think it's probably because of them being carnivores. Their poops are much more intense.
Do you ever have to wash them? Like give them a bath like you do with a dog?
Oh, only
or
if...
Or do they take care of that themselves?
I only wash them if they need it, like if they have gotten into something filthy. And then I just spot wash them, so I'll hold them and then I'll just like grab a face washer and like rub the bit that's dirty with just plain water. Some people, they wash their ferrets with like oatmeal baths, so that they can, it helps with itchy skin or something. Our guys like getting in the shower, so but yeah, if you wash them, they... Most of them don't like it. Some love it. And also it makes them smell worse. I remember washing the rats and that made them... We had to wash Matilda once and it made her smell disgusting. And ferrets is the same. Like, it makes them overproduce oils. So you don't really
I've
have to wash them.
I've only tried to wash mine once. And that didn't end well for me.
Scratched.
They were not happy about it. I think I actually only washed one of them. And then I was like, nope. Not doing that again.
Well, it's unnecessary most of the time, so...
Yeah, I had, like, I didn't have soap or anything on them. Mm-hmm. I had filled the sink up, and I had read that some rats really like water, so I was like, well, let's see if my rats like water, and they don't. They do not like water at all. I had, like, scratches all over my hands and arms, because they just used me like a climbing tree, and just to get anything at all to get out of the water, they were not happy at all in it, so... I haven't washed them since. If I need to get something off of their fur, then I'll just like get like a baby wipe or, you know, just a wet cloth. Like Deanie the other day, she had a chocolate chip and it melted into her fur and I had to get it off. I thought she had hurt herself or something because I was like, what is on your back? And then I smelt it. I was like, oh, that's chocolate. That's a good sign. And it's not something else. So I do get that it can be quite a pain to try and wash them. Especially because, you know, they do it themselves. It's not really needed.
The other, well, there are lots of big differences with the ferrets, I guess. They do live a lot longer. So their average is 6 years to 8 years. I've had 2 live until they were 10 and 1 until she was 4. That was a kidney issue. And 1 passed away in an accident, unfortunately. And... others were 6-ish, so he hit the average. So that's good. that was the sad
bit. That was one of the main reasons that I considered having rats in the future when I don't have my, oh, not rats, sorry, yep. ferrets in the future when I don't have my rats, was because of the difference in the age span. Mm-hmm.
Also, you say that your rats don't bite you. Unfortunately, ferrets, they are a bit more bitey than a rat, apparently.
Yeah.
They, well, mine don't bite out of any sort of aggression. They think it's funny.
Yeah.
It's just how they treat each other. Their skin's really thick, and they're sort of like miniature puppies, like you said, the rats are. Yeah. So they will bite each other on the neck and roll each other around. And that's just normal. So they don't realise that our skin is a lot thinner. And so Winnie will come up and bite me on the feet, and then he'll dance off thinking it's hilarious. So, And
they can be... Yeah, they sound... From videos I've watched, they seem very funny. No, they act, which is... Rats can be funny too with some of the things they do, and how they act sometimes. Like, I think actually the funny, my favourite thing to watch them do is when they have food that's too big for them to walk with, they do like a little pounce, like a little... what's the word I'm thinking of? Kind of like little bunny hops with it, and so they run away.
So it stays up.
Actually, their legs aren't... Yeah, their legs aren't long enough to walk. It's like, sort of think of a T-Rex with its alarms trying to do things. That's my favourite thing to watch them do. It's so funny watching them.
Mm. Yeah, that's so funny. I guess ferrets, they're pretty naughty as well. What examples? They have destroyed our upstairs carpet. So,
oh wow!
Because they want to get into places that they're not allowed into because they're so curious, and so they'll just scratch at the door, and you'll take them away and tell them no, and then they'll go straight back to it. So,
yeah, I think the only similar issue I've had like that is with Deanie. So she's actually called Deanie after Houdini, and it's a really fitting name for her. So with their travel cage, because my sister got them in Perth and then drove them up here, we had to duct tape the sides of it because at this point she was small enough to fit out, and she just kept getting out constantly over and over again. And she got here, and I had a... I didn't have the same cage I've got now, but I had one that was just as big, but it was a bit more flimsy. And for about, I don't know, at least 2 months, she would get out of the cage every single night, and I would have to try and get her back out from under the bed, and she wouldn't move. So every single morning I would get up and I'd come into the bedroom, and I'd try and, like, coerce her out from under the bed. And it was just... It was so horrible. I was getting so angry with her. I was like, oh, it's just so frustrating. Because she'd just stand there and stare at me, like, only about maybe probably 15 centimetres away from my hand when I'm laying on the floor with my entire arm stretched under the bed. And she'd just look at me and think it's funny. I eventually found out she was squeezing... She was moving the bars at the top of the cage. And this was after I had, like, zip-tied all the corners and everything in the cage, so she couldn't get out. I ended up having to put a huge photo frame on top of the cage so she couldn't get out of it. And then when I used to have her out, she would slide down between the... Because it's an ensemble bed. She would slide down between the... In the corner, in between the wall and the bed, so she could get under the bed again. And I think one time she did it, and I couldn't find her anywhere. And I look in the drawers, because there's a chest of drawers in here too. And she's just... I could hear her, so I opened the drawers, and she's sitting in the top drawer. I'm like... How did you even get in here? How did you even get up here? So, yeah, she was a total little shithead all the time when she was younger. She's calmed down a lot now, which is great, because I don't want to be chasing her and constantly looking for her. I did have to get rid of that cage, though, because it had a plastic tray bottom, and she chewed it, through the plastic. It was pretty thick plastic, too, so I got a metal cage, and I was like, yeah, try chew on that. Which she hasn't got out of yet, so that's good.
Have your rats chewed up your sheets? Because that used to happen to our sheets.
Yes, they chew anything in this room. These sheets are absolutely ruined. They're stained real badly because no one sleeps in this room anymore. So it's just solely for them. So the sheet, it's I don't actually bother putting a sheet on the bed. It's just a mattress protector, and I wash that and have a blanket on top. And yeah, they chew through the sheets. They chew my clothes while I'm wearing them. Like, they chew my socks, they chew through anything at all I've got on here, like chargers, phones, like absolutely anything. They will chew it if they can. And they've chewed my shoes before. I had, when we did have someone living here, we had one of my friends that used to live here when I was living here too. He was in this room, and he had his desk set up next to the cage, and he had a keyboard, like a $200 gaming keyboard. And it's gone. Had the, like, Yeah, the cord had that, I can't remember what it's called, but it has like the strong fabric wrapped around it, like the, so that it's like more durable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they chewed through it while he was gaming and chewed straight through it. They also chewed a hole in his shirt while he was gaming, which I don't know, like right at his elbow. I don't know how we didn't notice that because they did it from, his arm was just close enough to the cage. I don't know how you don't notice rats chewing, pulling on your shirt while you're doing things, but yeah, he would get angry and try and blame me. And I was like, well, how do you not notice that like your stuff is being pulled into their cage? Like, because they're not out of the cage, they're pulling it in there. So yeah, they will chew anything and everything I can that they can.
Yep.
So they haven't chewed anything too badly, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really annoying, especially with their hammocks. They mm-hmm. like to chew the corners of their hammocks so that they don't sit up anymore. And then I have to go buy them more. Sorry, Deanie's currently... What are you doing? She's trying to climb up onto me now.
So
you're
cute.
Just curious, aren't you? Yes, you're just curious. I don't think she even knows what she's doing. She's just squirming around. She's real squirmy. She'll sit still. The vets don't like her.
Oh.
Like, they think she's cute, but trying to give her any medication or do anything with her, even just hold her still for a stethoscope, she's like, nah, not doing it. She refuses. And giving her medication is just so difficult because it's hard enough trying to hold a rat in a headlock to get a syringe in their mouth. But with one that's constantly twisting and squirming, it's just, it's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But they are sweet. Where are you going?
One of our ferrets, we have to give her medication sometimes, and or for any reason, I suppose, but you sort of scruff them, like you hold them by the skin of their neck, and to give them the medication, and she just does this helicopter move, like her whole lower body will gyrate until you can let, until you can't hold her anymore. So it's just, so thanks Marie.
They make it so difficult. I know with these ones, even when I do end up actually getting it in their mouth from holding them in a headlock, they wait until I put them down and then they lick anything and everything around them to get it out of their mouth. So that they're like, because I can't spit it out. But they lick it off out of their mouth. And they haven't swallowed it. It's so frustrating. Yeah, so I have to sit there, hold them, and I will get their little chin and just like up and down with their chin to try and get them to swallow it. Even if I want to give them food, they won't take the food until it's out of their mouth.
Yep.
I've tried mixing it with food, and if they can, they know that it's in the food, like in just like, you know, sauce or jam or like yogurt or something, they know it's in there and they don't want it.
Yep.
Not silly. And I think the worst was I had this paste that I had to give them, which was only a drop of paste, and they would just, since it was thicker, they could just get all of it out of their mouth without like actually swallowing it. But I outsmarted them and realised that they hate being dirty more so than they hate having the paste in their mouth. So I would smear it on their arms and they would just look at me like, how could you betray me like this? So I would put it on their arms and they would sit there and clean it off, which is the only way I could get them to actually digest it, because they were just not having it in their mouth. They wouldn't deal with it. They're so painful like that when they want to be, when they want to be difficult. So with ferrets, what would you say would be either the hardest part or the like downside towards having ferrets in comparison to having, you know, a pet rat?
Unfortunately, I think it's basically the same issue. The length of life and the medical concerns. Very similar issues with cancers and adrenal disease and insulinoma, and very expensive. And pets never live long enough. I mean, you know.
No, they definitely don't.
No.
I think maybe my next pet might be a tortoise. Yes. And then I'll be happy.
Or a parrot or something. Means. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where the cloning should come in for pets.
Yeah. Would you say that finding a vet that's well experienced in ferrets has been hard for you? Like, I know that you're in South Australia. Are you in Adelaide?
Yeah, we're in Adelaide. Yeah.
Okay, so that would make it a bit easier then?
A bit easier. There's
a bigger city.
There's two vets I would recommend in Adelaide, Dr. Stevens in Elizabeth, and the Richmond Road Exotic Pets Vet. What's it called? It's on Richmond Road anyway. I really like those two. Others, they often will treat a ferret, but you cannot be guaranteed that they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
I've definitely had a few friends who've had ferrets pass away because they've taken them to just the nearest vet that happened to be available to them at the time, which isn't their fault. They were desperate. And
yeah,
the vet's like, oh, no, they're fine. And then they pass away from a blockage or something because the vet was not willing to operate.
Yeah,
it's...
That's what actually happened with my girl that passed away. So I was going to, out of the two vets here, one of them is better than the other, but neither of them are like exotic vets,
yep,
specialists or anything. But I was going to the other one here, and she had a respiratory infection, which are really common. That's like the issue I've dealt with the most in rats, especially mine. They just, I think, since dust sets them off, and me living in a desert, doesn't really help much for their respiratory system. But yeah, so I took her there, and she was getting worse, and they were said that they'd have to get the medication compounded in, and it took about, I think, a week or two to get here, and it arrived the day that she died.
But
before they got it in, they said that they said, you know, like, oh, she'll be fine, you know, there's nothing to worry about, you know, the medication will get here. I took her in the day that she, because I had her put to sleep, I took her in, and she just was really bad. She was really lethargic, and she was just real slow, and she was really struggling to breathe. They put her in an oxygen box for about 3 hours, which didn't do anything. What they should have done was given her a dose of steroids and the antibiotics as well, which they didn't, because if she had had the steroids, it's a lot more likely that she would have been able to fully recover from it. But by the time I went back to the vet to, after the 3 hours in the oxygen box, they pretty much said that, like, you know, they suggested that all they could do was euthanize her because
too far she gone. Was gonna,
yeah, she was gonna die anyway. But where they went wrong is, so the other vet in town is about a 3-minute drive from there, and these two clinics do speak to each other often. And I found out once I started taking my other rats to the other vet, that they had the medication that she needed on hand the entire time.
Oh.
So if they had just called the other vet, or if I had called the other vet, which I didn't even think about because I just assumed that if one vet doesn't have it, the other won't. And, yeah, so that vet always has it on hand all the time whenever I need it. Like, I don't even have an appointment anymore. I just call up and I'm like, yeah, Nessie needs this. And they're like, oh, good to hear from you. I'm like, yep, there you go, because we're very regular there. But the other one, yeah, they would just say that, you know, they have to get it compounded in and that's all they could do. But they also would have had medications for dogs and cats that they could have... diluted or you know, got a smaller dosage of it that would have helped as well, but they said, oh no, there's nothing we can do,
yeah,
which was really frustrating because she wasn't very old. She was nearly 2 years old. She was about 1 year and 6 months or so, and which is still relatively young for a rat. You know, they're by no means babies, but they are still, you know, healthy and
middle-aged,
at that age.
Oh, I've just found the name of this vet that I was talking about. It's Adelaide Bird and Exotics Vet Centre. And I've found them very good. So just in case anyone in Adelaide needs a exotic vet.
Yeah, well, that's good of you to mention. I know in Perth that the Murdoch Exotic Vet, I'm pretty sure it's called, or Murdoch Pet Vet, not the Unusual Pet Vets, I think, actually, what they're called. They're really good. I've heard good things about them. I've called them before to speak to... vets, and they are really good, but that's about a 7-hour drive away from me, so that's
a bit tricky.
Not a viable option for me. But if there is, you know, most of WA is in Perth, so if there is anyone in Perth that needs it, it's there.
Oh gosh, country problems.
I think actually the closest small animal vet is about 4 hours away, but I'm not sure if they deal with rats or not. But it's still with the age that my girls are at, I wouldn't want to stress them out even more by having them in a tiny cage for 4 hours each way to get them there and back.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yes.
Would you have any tips on owning ferrets at all? Or, like, things that you should know before buying a ferret?
If you're renting, don't rent a place with carpet. With your ferrets, or put down plastic protectors as soon as possible in doorways and corners, because they will poop in corners and you'll have to clean it off, and you'll get in trouble. if they are too stained. Save lots of money. Similar for rats, I guess. Have lots in your savings. What else? Learn how to walk safely around them because they will get under your feet. So three tips for today anyway.
My rats don't get under my feet because they're not on the ground, but if I'm laying down and I sit up for 2 seconds, guaranteed they'll be right behind me ready for me to sit back down. They love that. They just want to be squished, apparently.
They've got a death wish, so that's an effect.
They are funny little creatures, though. I had another question. Sure. Now I can't remember what it was.
Not useful.
Let me just think about it. it's completely gone.
Okay.
I have ADHD, so this is like an hourly occurrence for me. Forgetting what I was doing or what I was going to say, including today me forgetting about the podcast.
It's fine. Altogether. I should have sent a reminder.
No, that's not your fault. Because all day I was sitting there, I was like, I feel like I was supposed to do something today. And I was like, oh, no, I'm just tired. Don't know what I'm on about. And then I got your message. I was like, oh, I was supposed to do something today.
It's all right. My anxiety makes me forget things too, so.
With your ferrets, what would you say is the best part about owning them?
They are just plain adorable. I just love how playful and silly and cute they are.
Do you have any other pets with them or just them?
I have them, but I also have a chihuahua.
Do they get along or do you keep them separate?
The ferrets are in a cage, and when they come out to play, we supervise. We chose a chihuahua because she is only 2 kilos, and ferrets are like 1.5 kilos, so it's kind of a lot less risky than another dog breed. It's still a big risk, and people don't recommend it, so I shouldn't be advocating for this.
I think if anything, I'd be more worried about the chihuahua if the ferrets decided they didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a risk I'm taking here. But she hasn't hurt them and they haven't hurt her, and so we're feeling pretty all right about it. We had prepared for the possibility that we might need a ferret room instead of a ferret being allowed to run wherever they want, like they can at the moment. Or having to lock her up while they're out to play. We thought that through. She's in training for, I guess, leaving them alone. She thinks that they're tiny dogs, so she wants to play with them like dogs. And they don't totally understand that. They're just like, we're trying to patrol the house, girl. Like, what are we doing?
I think my dogs would just think of them as squeaky toys. And it doesn't help that they actually squeak. They would think it was absolutely a great time to... They'd be having a blast thinking that these are very interactive squeaky toys they've got here.
Yes.
Yeah, and with the cat... Oh, there's been one time that he got into the bedroom. And I came in and he was sitting on the bed just staring at them. And I was like, get out right now. What do you think you're doing? I can't remember who, but someone had left the door open. So he was just happy sitting there watching. I love all animals. I do like cats. The only time I don't like cats is when they kill things, which is quite a lot, especially with younger cats. So I think one time he had a mouse, and he was in the kitchen and I was in the dining room, and the kitchen and dining room were like, they were connected just by like an archway. And so I realised he had the mouse and he was on the counter, and Mum said this is the fastest she's ever seen me move. So I got up and I ran to him and he jumped on the floor, and we had like an island bench in the middle. And he was like kind of zigzagging both sides trying to get around me. And then he chose one side to try and like go past me, and I body tackled him to the ground. And like I just leaped on top of him and he dropped the mouse. So I just threw him over my shoulder. I wasn't concerned at all about where he was going. I was just trying to get this poor mouse. I got the mouse off him, which it wasn't dead, but it died from like shock.
Probably,
the whole ordeal. But yeah, any time I see him, I'm like, get away from me. And I don't really pat him anymore. like because just the smell of cats can really scare rats. Nessie and Ellie are really scared of the smell, to the point where they would just sit in my shirt and they won't move at all if they smell a cat. Deanie, I don't know what's wrong with her. And maybe she just has no survival instincts whatsoever, but she couldn't care less about a cat being there or the smell of a cat. She's just not fazed at all. I think she's just broken. I've got a faulty rat.
Yeah. I'm just aware of the time because it's I think it's been pretty good.
Time difference.
Pardon?
I said I forgot about the time difference.
Not the time difference, just that what you've been saying has been so good, I don't want to cut anything out, and it's already been 1 hour and 11 minutes, so.
That's okay. Yeah, that's good. Well, I can't really think of anything else to add on. Hopefully people listening to this might do a bit more research into rats themselves. Yeah,
that's what I hope.
And, you know, get a different opinion on them. I did just think of one other thing. This is absolutely really cute if you want to ever Google or look it up. It is an experiment, but not a harmful experiment, so that's at least better. They taught rats how to drive cars, which was so adorable. So they made these little cars that were like just like a container with wheels, and they had three copper wires in them. So one was just for going forward and one left and right.
Yep.
And they were seeing if rats could learn how to drive these little cars to get the treats. So they had to drive the car to get the treats, which they all did learn how to do it. And then after the experiment, they wanted to see if rats, if they had the choice between walking to get the treats and driving the car to get the treats, if they would take the car. And they all took the car, all of them. None of them wanted to walk after getting the car. And there's videos on YouTube of the rats in their little cars driving around getting the treats.
Oh, so my gosh.
It's really adorable if anyone looks at
them. I'll have to put a link in the blog post about that. That's amazing. Yeah,
it's really cute. And it shows how smart they are too. They're definitely not... they're not simple.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me today, Savannah.
It's alright. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, maybe I'll have you another time to talk more rat issues, but...
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'll just hang up now. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Savannah, thanks so much for agreeing to be interviewed by me. I had a great conversation, and I hope our listeners enjoyed hearing what we were saying as well. If you've got any questions or comments about what you've heard today, please leave us a comment in the Facebook group or on my website, or you could send me an audio clip in an MP3 format and I could play it in another episode. That'd be fantastic. Please subscribe and leave reviews and all the other podcasting sort of requests. That would be so good. Thank you so much for listening.